Jayarandamadhava Jayakundami Paramahansa, Charya, Alsta Teda Satishi, Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chananana Bhaktivedanta Gosami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Iskan, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Virinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Vidas, Thakur Ki Jai, Rem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Garadha Shri Vasidhi Gaur Bhakta Vrind Kajai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kajai Vrindavanam Kajai Maturnam Kajai Jagannathaswami Kajai Yamunamai Kajai Shri Madhikalasi Devi Kajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrind Kajai Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bol. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Shri Madhi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namani. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gaur Vani Pacharani, Nivashesha Shunyabadi. Paschacha Deja Tarani. So, Omagana Tumidandasha, Yananjana shalakaya chakshuram meditam yena tasmai shigurave namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shilvaupad, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're going to continue with our study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, so we're in the middle of the 10th chapter, in the middle of a purport. 10th chapter, 84th verse, in the middle of the purport, and we're going to continue reading. Of course, last night we didn't read the Chaitanya Charitamrita since we were commemorating or observing a memorial festival for one of my dear disciples, Krishnanam, who recently passed away, and tomorrow we're going to his cremation ceremony. So it's very sad to see these great Vaishnavas leave, but we understand that they are actually going to serve Krishna. Okay. They're actually going to serve Krishna in the spiritual world or serve Srila Prabhupada somewhere else in this material world. So Vaishnavas actually don't die. He reasons ill who says the Vaishnavas die when thou art still living, still and sound, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. So this devotee, Krishnanami, was very humble, educated, highly educated. He had a PhD, and he was always ready to take any service that he was given and never criticized any Vaishnavas. That's the sign of a greatly advanced Vaishnava. Someone who does not criticize any other Vaishnava and just appreciates the service of all the other Vaishnavas. So we pray that one day we can become like that, not criticize any Vaishnava. Whew. That would be a miracle if I can become like that. Anyway, so now we're going to go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're going to share the screen. Middle of the purport, text 84. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Let me just clear the screen here. All right. Let's see something. Whoops. That doesn't help. That will help. Have to be able to see the messages that come in. All right, sorry about that. I disappeared Hopefully I'll be back in a minute. That was an internet glitch. So let's just start again. 1 second. All right, back. Okay. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Hold on a second. One second and we will get started. Sorry for the delay, but this does happen. We're going to try to rectify this. It's either internet or computer trouble. Okay. On that happy note, let's go. In the Majalila chapter 20, the device adopted by... Whoops. Krishna's playing tricks on me. That was actually my fault. I hit the link. Let me just move that and go back to where I was. Okay. That was my fault. That was not a computer glitch. That was a me glitch. Okay, here we go. In the Majalila, chapter 20, the device adopted by Sanatana Goswami to get free from government service is described. He served a notice of sickness to the Nawab, the Muslim governor, but actually he was studying Srimad Bhagavatam with Brahmanas at home. The Nawab received information of this through a royal physician, and he immediately went to see Sanatana Goswami to discover his intentions. The Nawab requested Sanatana to accompany him on an expedition to Orissa, but when Sanatana Goswami refused, the Nawab ordered that he be imprisoned. When Rupa Goswami left home, he wrote a note for Sanatana Goswami informing him of some money that he had entrusted to a local grocer. Sanatana Goswami took advantage of this money to bribe the jailkeeper and get free from detention. Then he left for Benares to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bringing with him only one servant whose name was Ishan. On the way, they stopped at a sarai or hotel. And when the hotel keeper found out that Ishan had some gold coins with him, he planned to kill both Sanatana Goswami and Ishan to take away the coins. Later, Sanatana Goswami saw that although the hotel keeper did not know them, he was being especially attentive to their comfort. Therefore, he concluded that Ishan was secretly carrying some money and that the hotel keeper was aware of this and therefore planned to kill him for it. Upon being questioned by Sanatana Goswami, Ishan admitted that he indeed had money with him, and immediately Sanatana Goswami took the money and gave it to the hotel keeper, requesting him to help them get through the jungle. Thus, with the help of the hotel keeper, who was also the chief of the thieves of that territory, Sanatana Goswami crossed over the Hazipur Mountains, which are presently known as the Hazari Bogs. He then met his brother-in-law, Srikanta, who requested that he stay with him. Sanatana Goswami refused, but before they parted, Srikanta gave him a valuable blanket. I think we'll tell more of that story about Sanatana Goswami escaping from prison, which is quite an interesting story. Of course, Rupa Goswami first left the employment of the Nawab Hussain Shah. He took with him boatloads and boatloads of gold and divided it up, some of it to his relatives, some of it for an emergency, a quarter for emergency, which he put with this grocer because there weren't actually banks then. And then he gave half of it to the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. So, but Sanatana Goswami could not get out of his service so easily, so he claimed that he was very sick. And the Qazi, that is the Muslim governor, sent his doctor to check on Sanatana, and the doctor said, Sanatana ain't sick. He's reading Srimad Bhagavatam with the Brahmanas every day. So the Qazi came, and he said, this is not good. You should go with me to Orissa to conquer different parts of my kingdom. And Sanatan said, you're going to harass the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm not going. And then the Qazi said, then you're going to jail. So he put him in jail. And Sanatan Goswami was bargaining with the jail keeper, the warden. And he said, yes, I will bribe you with some money if you let me go. And the jailkeeper was very reluctant. And Sanatan Goswami said, look, you just say that Sanatan was going to the river to pass duel, and he jumped in the river and drowned. And that's it. And here's the money. You know, he arranged for the money. Of course, he didn't have money in prison, but he arranged for the money to be transferred to this jailkeeper. And he escaped from prison. And he had with him his servant named Ishan, and he had 8 gold coins. Of course, Ishan had 8 gold coins, and Sanatan didn't know about it. So they came to this hotel, and this hotel keeper had an astrologer. And the astrologer, or geomancer, or whoever you may call it, he was able to ascertain that Sanatan had, or Sanatan's servant, had 8 gold coins. So he was treating Sanatan so well. Oh, here's a bed. Here's whatever you want. We'll help you cross the mountains. And Sanatan Goswami, being very expert in politics, understood that too much devotion is the sign of a thief. So if someone shows you so much devotion and comes up to you and says, let's say if you're a guru, oh, Guru Maharaj, whatever you say, I'll do. Oh, I'm completely surrendered to you. Uh-oh. Sometimes a disciple may be surrendered. But if someone who's not a disciple, especially if you go to buy something in the store and someone is really fawning all over you, remembering the names of your family members and just ready to serve you hand and foot, then you're going to be cheated. So Sanatana Goswami understood that this hotel keeper really was going to kill him for something. He didn't know what he had, but he thought this hotel keeper must know that Ishan has some money. So he went to Ishan and he said, do you have any gold coins? And Ishan said, I have 7. He lied. Sanatana knew he had 8. So Sanatana Goswami took the 7 gold coins, gave them to the hotel keeper and said, look, you keep them. And the hotel keeper said, thank God, you freed me from committing a greatly sinful activity, because I was going to kill you for those same coins. So Sanatana Goswami sent his servant away, because the servant wasn't a very good servant, and he continued alone through the mountains, and the hotel keeper actually helped him because he made a big profit that particular day. So then he gets to Varanasi after receiving a very beautiful blanket, and there's a reason for mentioning that blanket in this particular story. So receiving that blanket from Shikanta, his brother-in-law. So let's go ahead to Varanasi, Benares. Somehow or other, Sanatana Goswami reached Varanasi and met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the house of Chandrasekhara. By the order of the Lord, Sanatana Goswami was cleanly shaved and his dress changed to that of a mendicant or Babaji. So actually, there's a story of how he showed up at Chandrasekhara's door, knocked on the door, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew it was Sanatana without even seeing him. And he said to Chandrasekhara, there is a great devotee at your door, so please let him in. So Chandrasekhara went to his door, opened the door, and he saw what he thought was an old Muslim mendicant. And he went, because by that time Sanatana Goswami had a beard and he looked the part. So then he went to Lord Chaitanya, that is, Chandrasekhara went to Lord Chaitanya and said, there's only an old Muslim mendicant or young Muslim mendicant here. And then Lord Chaitanya said, no, he's a great devotee of Lord Krishna. And so they went to the door. Sanatana was let in, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you should be clean shaven. So generally, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are clean shaven. This is the process, especially the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. They are clean shaven. Prabhupada did not really approve of us following the Chaturmash vow where you don't shave for 4 months. Actually, one time a devotee was following that particular vow. And Prabhupada said, yes, your Chaturmash is Chaturmesh. Chaturmash means 4 months. So Chaturmesh means four messes. So that's how we should be known as Keshahin, means without hair. And for the men, it's good to have either short hair, if you're Grahastha, or shaven head, very, very short hair, if you're a sannyasi or brahmachari. So Sanatana Goswami put on old garments of tapan mishras and took prasadam at the house of a Maharashtrian brahmana. Then in discourses with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord himself explained everything about devotional service to Sanatana Goswami, advised Sanatana Goswami to write books on devotional service, including a book of directions for Vaishnava activities and to excavate the lost places of pilgrimage in Vrindavana. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him his blessings to all this work and also explained to Sanatana Goswami the import of the Atma Rama verse from 61 different angles of vision. So this Atmarama verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very important. What the verse basically states is So it states that those who were self-satisfied, just making a summary of the verse, paraphrasing it, are attracted to the qualities, name, and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, those who are completely detached from this material world are attached to Krishna. And this proves, the Atmarama verse is mainly used to prove that the Janma Karma Chame Divyam, that the transcendent, the activities of the Lord and his qualities and his form are all Divyam or transcendental. Because if someone is not attached to anything in this material world and they are attracted by Krishna, that means that Krishna is not anything of this material world. Or he's not anything in this material world. Now, one other story about Sanatana Goswami in Varanasi was that Sanatana Goswami, we mentioned before, had received this beautiful shawl or chadar from his brother-in-law, Sri Kanta. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept looking at the shawl, just kept glancing at it. And Sanatana Goswami understood why. He wasn't thinking that Lord Chaitanya wanted this shawl, but he was thinking that Lord Chaitanya was thinking that it is not appropriate for a sannyasi to wear opulent clothes. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would give an instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami later on about the duties of one in the renounced order of life. He said it's not appropriate to eat fine foods or opulent foods, to think of women even in dreams, and to always think of Krishna within one's heart of hearts. So there are more details in that particular statement. And be humble. So those are the duties of those in the renounced order of life. When Sanatana Goswami realized that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glancing at him for that reason, Sanatana Goswami went to the bank of the river Ganges, of course. And he said to a mendicant there, an old Muslim mendicant who was wearing a quilt. A quilt means that basically you put together a blanket from all sorts of, let's say, old discarded pieces of cloth because you couldn't afford to buy a new blanket. That's a cheap way of doing it. So this mendicant was wearing this quilt, you know, this old quilt with holes in it. And Sanatana Goswami said to him, I will trade you. You can have my new chadar for your old quilt. And this mendicant thought, he's teasing me. But Sanatana Goswami said, I'm actually serious. And so they made that exchange. And therefore, Sanatana Goswami had this old quilt, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with him. He said, something like, when one is dealing with leprosy, one should make sure that not even a spot remains when one's trying to get rid of leprosy. So, in other words, a sannyasi, or someone in the renounced order of life, is like a white sheet. So even a little spot of impurity is very, very prominent or obvious in the character or behavior of a sannyasi. So one has to be very careful. Sanatana Goswami went to Vrindavan by the main road, and when he reached Mathura, he met Subhuti Rai. When he returned to Jagannath Puri through the Jarakhanda, the Madhya Pradesh jungle, at Jagannath Puri, he decided to give up his body by falling down beneath the wheel of a Rath Yatra cart, a Jagannath cart. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saved him. Then Sanatana Goswami met Haridas Thakur and heard about the disappearance of Anupama, that is the other brother of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami later described the glories of Haridas Thakur. Sanatana observed the etiquette of Jagannath's temple by going along the beach to visit Lord Chaitanya, although it was extremely hot due to the sun. He requested Jagannanda Pandit to give him permission to return to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised the character of Sanatana Goswami, and he embraced Sanatana, accepting his body as spiritual. Sanatana was ordered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to live at Jagannath Puri for 1 year. When Sanatana Goswami returned to Vrindavan after that time, he again met Rupa Goswami, and both brothers remained in Vrindavan to execute the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, a little more details about this particular story. So when Sanatana Goswami traveled through the Jarakhanda forest to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, he didn't have sufficient food or good water to drink, and he got sick. And that sickness was manifest by sores on his body, what we call running sores. That means sores with pus coming out of him. So he arrived in Jagannath Puri, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the first things Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did was he embraced Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami was thinking, oh my God, I am committing a great offense by having Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embrace me. And he was thinking, the only solution is to actually jump under the wheels of the cart of Lord Jagannath during the Rath Yatra ceremony and be killed in that way. In other words, suicide. In this way, I'll be freed from my offense. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew what he was thinking. And he said to Sanatana Goswami that, if I thought I could achieve Krishna by leaving my body or ending my life like this, I would be ready to leave my body many, many times. I forget the exact amount of times he mentioned, like hundreds or thousands or millions of times, if I thought this could enable me to reach Krishna. And he said to Sanatana Goswami, you should understand to whom your body belongs. It belongs to me, and you, utilizing your body, are meant to execute service to me in Vrindavan. In other words, excavating the holy places, establishing temples, etc., and writing Vaishnava literatures, Nana Shastra, Vichara, and I didn't even know, Sadharma Samstapako, establishing eternal religious principles by perusing all the revealed scriptures. So he said that to Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami felt, oh my God, now I can't commit suicide. I'm still committing offenses. So he went to Jagannanda Pandit and said, what am I going to do? And Jagannanda Pandit advised him that right after the Rath Yatra ceremony, you should leave town and go to Vrindavan, because that's where Lord Chaitanya actually wanted you to go. And so when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this advice, he chastised Jagannanda Pandit, who in Krishna Leela is Satyabhama. So he chastised, he said, that Jagga, he's just a young boy. And he said to Sanatana Goswami, you are actually capable of advising even me. So that is the humility of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sanatana Goswami, at that point, he got a little upset. He said, I can see how close a relationship you have with Jagannanda Pandit, because you're giving him the sweet words of your chastisement, whereas with me, you're giving me the bitter nimba fruit of your praise. Because in many cases, the people who you chastise that chastisement indicates a very close, loving relationship. And when you praise someone, it indicates, you know, I just want to keep them arm's length like that. So chastisement, we should want chastisement from our superiors, especially the spiritual master. So Sanatana Goswami said that. And then later on, Lord Chaitanya tested Sanatana Goswami. Remember, he had all these sores that were just oozing pus coming from his body. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during the middle of the summer, called for Sanatana Goswami. So Lord Chaitanya was on the opposite side of Jagannath Puri. And to get to Lord Chaitanya from where Sanatana Goswami was, there were two avenues or two methods of getting there. One was to go right by the main entrance of the temple. And the other way was to go by the beach, which is the long way. But the problem is that it was the middle of the summer and the sand on the beach was like blazing fire. Whew. So Sanatana Goswami went by the beach. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him, why did you go by the beach? You should have gone by the cool path, by the temple. And Sanatana Goswami said, the pujaris are coming, that is, those who take care of the deities, are coming here and there, and I am contaminated. I have these sores all over my body. That was a test by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, and Sanatana Goswami felt really bad. And Lord Chaitanya said, look, I'm a sannyasi. If I distinguish between materially good, materially bad, then it's a disqualification for me. You know, sannyasi, vidya, vinaya, sampane, brahmani, govihasini, shunichagas, vipakicha, pandita, samadarshana. He's samadarshi, sees things equally in this world. So Sanatana Goswami said, that's simply external. And so Lord Chaitanya eventually revealed, actually, the reason I am embracing you is just like a child may be embraced by his or her parents, even though they may have some foul substances on them. Because that's love. You're like my children. You're like my son. So Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting his great love for his devotees. This is actually important for us, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loves us so much, even though we are figuratively covered with so much dirt. I'm not going to say pus, but you know, it's disgusting things in our consciousness. Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, he's accepted us. So this illustrates the point that Lord Chaitanya is the most magnificent. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also revealed that when I embrace you, I smelled chatushana, which is like sandalwood paste and musk and everything like that. Because Sanatana Goswami's body was spiritual. It's not an ordinary material body. And when a pure devotee gets sick, it's not an ordinary material affair. It's part of the Lord's plan. Just like we have the case with many great, like Lord Vrishabhadev, when he was passing stool, it was fragrant, it was good smelling. So Sanatana Goswami in the same way. And then finally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatana Goswami, and the sores just disappeared from Sanatana Goswami. So it was a great miracle. So the place where Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami formerly lived has now become a place of pilgrimage. It is generally known as Gupta Vrindavan or Hidden Vrindavan, and it is situated about 8 miles south of English Bazaar. There, the following places are still visited. Of course, this is in Ramakeli. The temple of Sri Madan Mohan Deity, to the Keli Kadamba tree, under which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Sanatana Goswami at night. And three, Rupa Sagara, a large pond excavated by Sri Rupa Goswami, a society named Ramakeli Sangskari Samiti was established in 1924 to repair the temple and renovate the ponds. Of course, this was in the place where Lord Chaitanya first met Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And of course, they bowed down to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with straws in their teeth to indicate their great humility. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time had been heading to Vrindavan, and he was accompanied by a very large retinue. And Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, who at that time were Rupa and Sanatana, and also Anupama was there at that time, advised Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's not proper to go to Vrindavan with such a large crowd like this. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking their advice, after meeting with them, turned back. But he also initiated that at that particular time. He gave them the name Rupa and Sanatana. And he admitted, he said to them, you are my eternal servants. So, Tandramadje Rupa Sanatana Vada Shaka Anupama Jiva Rajendradi Upa Shaka. Among these branches, Rupa and Sanatana were principal. Anupama, Jiva Goswami, and others, headed by Rajendra, were their sub-branches. In the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika 195, it is said that Srila Jiva Goswami was formerly Vilasa Bhandari Gopi. From his very childhood, Jiva Goswami was greatly fond of Srimad Bhagavatam. He later came to Navadvip to study Sanskrit. And following in the footsteps of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he circumambulated the entire Navadvip Dham. After visiting Navadvip Dham, he went to Benares to study Sanskrit under Madhusudana Vachaspati. And after finishing his studies in Benares, he went to Vrindavana and took shelter of his uncles, Sri Rupa and Sanatan. This is described in the Bhakti Ratnakara. As far as our information goes, Srila Jiva Goswami composed and edited at least 25 books. They are all very much celebrated, and they are listed as follows. Hari Namamrita Vyakarana Sutra Malika Datu Sangraha Krishnarchadipika Gopala Virudhavali Rasamrita Shesha Sri Madhava Mahotsava Sri Sankalpa Kalpavriksha Bhavartha Suchaka Champu Gopal Tapanitika. A commentary on the Brahma Samhita, a commentary on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that's Rupa Goswami's book. Commentary on the Ujjala Nilamani, also Rupa Goswami's book. A commentary on the Yoga Sarastava. A commentary on the Gayatri Mantra as described in the Agni Purana. A description of the Lord's lotus feet derived from the Padma Purana. A description of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Gopal Champu in two parts. And 19 to 25, seven sandarvas, the Krama, Tattva, Bhagavat, Paramatma, Krishna Bhakti, and Priti sandarvas. After the disappearance of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan, Srila Jiva Goswami became the acharya of all the Vaishnavas of Bengal, Orissa, and the rest of the world, and it is he who used to guide them in their devotional service. In Vrindavan, he established the Radha Damodara Temple, where after retirement, this is Prabhupada, of course, speaking, we had the opportunity to live from 1962 until 1965, when we decided to come to the United States of America. When Jiva Goswami was still present, and actually, that location was Srila Prabhupada's eternal home. When Jiva Goswami was still present, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami compiled his famous Chaitanya Charitamrita. Later, Srila Jiva Goswami inspired Srinivas Acharya, Narottamadas Thakur, and Duki Krishnadas to preach Krishna consciousness in Bengal. Duki Krishnadas was actually Shyamananda. Jiva Goswami was informed that all the manuscripts that had been collected from Vrindavan and sent to Bengal for preaching purposes were plundered near Vishnupura in Bengal. But later he received the information that the books had been recovered. So there's a whole story about that. So when the Vaishnavas, that is Narottama Das Thakur, Shyamananda, and Srinivasacharya, were taking these books from Vrindavan, original manuscripts of the Goswamis, to Bengal and places east, they were crossing the boundary of a state called Vishnupura. Actually, Vana Vishnupura. And there was a king there. His name was King Vira Homvira. That means very heroic king. And so this king was a dacoit. He was a criminal. And he also had an expert astrologer working for him. You know, if you're going to be a criminal, you should definitely have an astrologer or somebody who can predict things with you. Because that way you know where wealth is. You won't be wasting your time as a dacoit. So this astrologer did something, and he was able to ascertain that this party that was passing through this place in Bengal had a lot of wealth with it. The party had a lot of wealth. And the king got very enthusiastic, and he waited until the devotees were resting at night. And he had his men steal this trunk, which contained all the books. And he thought the trunk would have gold and silver and all sorts of jewels in it. Later on, he opened the trunk and looked inside, and he saw the handwriting of Srila Rupa Goswami, which is described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like pearls on a thread. Very, very beautiful handwriting. And he closed the book. And so the devotees that Srinivasacharya and, of course, Narottama Das Thakur and Shyamananda were really upset. What are we going to do? But they understood it was the Lord's plan. So later on, Srinivasacharya happened to go in to the king's assembly hall. The king had stolen the books. While the king was hearing Bhagavatam class from his sage, and we find that Srinivasacharya corrected the king's sage, and he started to preach himself. The king very much appreciated what Srinivasacharya was saying. And then the king revealed to Srinivasacharya that he had his chest full of books. And then Srinivasacharya went down. He saw the chest of books. He became very happy. The king surrendered to Srinivasacharya. King Virahambir surrendered. And he took initiation. And the king's wife, who was the queen, of course, took initiation from Srinivasacharya, and they both became great devotees, and they made it a rule that in their kingdom, everyone had to chant their rounds. And if they didn't chant their rounds properly, then hit the road, Prabhu. In other words, they were kicked out of the kingdom. So everybody in the kingdom had to be Krishna conscious. So the king went from this very low position of being a dacoit by the mercy of Srinivasacharya, he came to the high position of being a Rajarshi, a great saintly king. So Srila Jiva Goswami awarded the designation Kaviraj to Ramchandra Sen, a disciple of Srinivasacharya's, and to Ramchandra's younger brother, Govinda. So it's Govinda Kaviraj and Ramchandra Kaviraj. While Jiva Goswami was alive, Srimati Janabhadevi, the pleasure potency of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, went to Vrindavan with a few devotees. Jiva Goswami was very kind to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Vaishnavas from Bengal. Whoever went to Vrindavan, he provided with a residence and prasadam. His disciple, Krishnadas Adhikari, listed all the books of the Goswamis in his diary. The Sahajas level three accusations against Srila Jiva Goswami. This is certainly not congenial for the execution of devotional service. The first accusation concerned a materialist who was very proud of his reputation as a great Sanskrit scholar and approached Sri Rupa and Sanatan to argue with them about the revealed scriptures. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, not wanting to waste their time, gave him a written statement that he had defeated them in a debate on the revealed scriptures. Taking this paper, the scholar approached Jiva Goswami for a similar certificate called a Jayapatra. of defeat. But Jiva Goswami did not agree to give him one. On the contrary, he argued with him regarding the scriptures and defeated him. Certainly it was right for Jiva Goswami to stop such a dishonest scholar from advertising that he had defeated Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. But due to their illiteracy, the Sahaja class referred to this incident to accuse Srila Jiva Goswami of deviating from the principle of humility. They do not know, however, that humility and meekness are appropriate when one's honor is insulted, but not when Lord Vishnu or the Acharyas are blasphemed. In such cases, one should not be humble and meek, but must act. One should follow the example given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya says in his Shikshashtika number 3, Trinadapi su ni chena tororita sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahavi. One can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Nevertheless, when the Lord was informed that Nityananda Prabhu was injured by Jagai and Madai, he immediately went to the spot, angry like fire, wanting to kill them. Thus, Lord Chaitanya has explained his verse by the example of his own behavior. One should tolerate insults against oneself, but when there is blasphemy committed against superiors, such as other Vaishnavas, one should be neither humble nor meek. One must take proper steps to counteract such blasphemy. This is the duty of a servant of a guru and Vaishnavas. Anyone who understands the principle of eternal servitude to the guru and Vaishnavas will appreciate the action of Srila Jiva Goswami in connection with the so-called scholar's victory over his gurus, Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatana Goswami. Another story fabricated to defame Srila Jiva Goswami states that when Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami showed him the newly completed manuscript of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jiva Goswami thought it would hamper his reputation as a big scholar and therefore threw it into a well. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was greatly shocked, according to the story, and he died immediately. Fortunately, a copy of the manuscript of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita had been kept by a person named Mukunda, and therefore later it was possible to publish this book. This story is another ignominious example of blasphemy against a guru and Vaishnava. Such a story should never be accepted as authoritative. According to another accusation, Srila Jiva Goswami did not approve of the principles of Parikya Ras or Vrindavanam, and therefore supported Swakya Ras, showing that Radha and Krishna are eternally married. Actually, when Srila Jiva Goswami was alive, some of his followers disliked the Parikya Ras of the gopis. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami, for their spiritual benefit, supported Swakya Ras, for he could understand that Sahajas would otherwise exploit the Parikya Ras as they are actually doing at the present time. Unfortunately, in Vrindavan and Navadvipa, it has become fashionable among Sahajas in their debauchery to find an unmarried sexual partner to live with to execute so-called devotional service in Parikya Ras. Foreseeing this, Srila Jiva Goswami supported Swakya Ras, that means marriage between Radha and Krishna, and later all the Vaishnavacharyas also approved of it. Srila Jiva Goswami was never opposed to the transcendental Parikya Ras, that means unmarried relationship between Radha and Krishna, nor is any other Vaishnava disapproved of it. Srila Jiva Goswami strictly followed his predecessor gurus and Vaishnavas, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, and Srila Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami accepted him as one of his instructor gurus. Okay, and so we're going to end now and allow you all to ask questions. Give me one second as we allow you to ask questions. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're allowed to unmute yourselves. Who wants to ask a question?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. This is Rishikesh.
Rishikesh, Hare Krishna.
Gurudev, what lessons do we learn from Srila Sanatan Goswami's, you know, this apparent disease, the skin disease, and I know it was a transcendental pastime enacted by the Lord, but what lessons do we learn from that?
One lesson we should learn is haitiki pratyatayat supersedite, that there's no barrier to one's devotional service, even if one is not in such a healthy condition. I mean, that's a really important lesson. From the side of Sanatan Goswami, one shouldn't use their lack of health as an excuse not to serve Krishna. And we find this often, you know, we really get into... Whoops. Someone is making a lot of noise. Breathing. Okay. So, sounded like someone was sick. So we really get into like, oh, woe is me. I'm having this pain in the body. I can't get up. Mangal Arati. We hear this all the time. If people really get into their bodies a little bit too much. I can't get up from Mangal Arati. Makes me tired. Whoops. Let me just turn off. Let me, I have to put someone on mute. That's the person. Okay. He's on mute now. Okay. So we really get into our physical condition. And then we, I mean, obviously if someone is disabled, that's a different thing. Genuinely disabled. It's a different thing. Like Prabhupada gave the example of a king who said that he would be willing to take care of and feed anyone who was genuinely lazy. So what the king did is he did a test to see if people were genuinely disabled, you know, I guess mentally disabled, that's a particular point. He called all the lazy, you know, disabled people, you come into this house and we'll take care of you. So they were all in the house. The king had the house set on fire. Not to burn them, it wasn't a serious fire. And so they all ran out. They all had enthusiasm, even at 4 o'clock in the morning, Mangal Arati time. They were jumping, you know, when they, I'm actually changing parts of the story, sorry. When they were complaining, they couldn't wake up from Mangal Arati. It was too cold out to go to Mangal Arati. So, but they all left, except for two. And those two said to each other, one said, it's really hot in here. And the other one said, just turn over. And the king said, these are genuine lazy men. So you should feed them. So we should do that test. That if someone says, well, I can't come to Mangal Arati, then we should do, I don't, not set the house on fire, but just like, what should we do? Take a hose and start squirting them with water and see if they jump up and they run out of the house. And they get angry with you to see if they're actually capable or incapable. That's as far as the devotees in the temple. I'm not going to go into all your houses and do that. So anyway, so that's one point, that whatever physical condition we have, you know, we can push ourselves a little without damaging the body. You know, no one ever died from getting up early in the morning. So anyway, and also going to sleep early. But people say, well, I have all these habits, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, so that's one point. Another point is that we should be like Lord Chaitanya, Pandita Samadarshana, not disgusted by something that is really obnoxious in this world, nor attracted by something that we consider to be attractive. And Krishna says in the Gita, attraction and repulsion are experienced by conditioned souls. You know, we're attracted to certain things. Just like right now, the sun is shining. Oh, it's so beautiful. And then previously it was raining today. So if one is actually, I mean, obviously, you know the difference between rain and sunshine. But I mean, like today, I actually went out for a walk in the rain. It was raining hard. Put my raincoat on, obviously. And I was thinking how nice it is. And now, of course, I'm not thinking how horrible it is with the sun shining. But, you know, just to be equal poised. You understand the difference. Obviously, you do have your likes and dislikes. We're not stones. But you don't let it disturb a haitakiya pratyataya supersedate. You don't let it disturb your service. That's very important, especially when, nonetheless, and especially when serving a Vaishnava like Sanatan Goswami. Like we have the story of Ishwara Puri, who was serving his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, by doing so many menial things, you know, cleaning up after the guru. I mean, obviously, if someone is very sick and getting old and getting ready to pass from this world, there'll be bodily fluids and everything like that that one will have to take care of. And he took care of his guru like that, you know, in a very humble way. And there's that whole story where Prabhupada asked one of his servants who was taking care of him at the end. Oh yeah, it was Abhiram. It was Abhiram was taking care of Prabhupada. And as he was cleaning up, you know, after Prabhupada, you know, there's bodily fluids and everything. And Prabhupada says something like, this is very horrible, isn't it? Just to test the devotion of Abhiram Prabhu. Abhiram was one of my god brothers. Very nice devotee. Sweet, 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 sweet devotee. So much devotion for Prabhupada he had. Actually, the devotees who took care of Prabhupada in the final days had so much devotion. Bhaktichu Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, so much devotion. And now, and of course, those devotees, at least Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhaktichu Maharaj, are with Prabhupada. We see how he called them with him before the rest of us. Really interesting. So anyway, so Prabhupada said, this is, you know, it says like disgusting, this is horrible. And Abhiram said, no, Prabhupada. So, you know, this is, we love this. We love to do this. And so it's a test of one's love. That's another point that we can get from this particular story, is that Krishna will test our devotion. Ahaitukiya pratyata, that there's no stopping one's service regardless of the circumstances. No impediment in one service. So, you know, imagine you have to take care of someone, just like we recently had one of our disciples pass away, and one of the devotees was taking care of him. Dr. Steve was taking care of him, and it was done out of love. So, in this way, Bhakti Steve, even though he's not initiated, he got great spiritual, or achieved great spiritual heights just by taking care of a Vaishnava in such a way like that, surrendering to that. And there was such a loving relationship between him and Krishna Namprabhu, who's the person who passed away, the disciple of mine who passed away a few days ago. So one can learn from that. Anyway, I'm sure there's other lessons to be learned, you know, where there's love, that's very important. One should see things equally in this material world. One should not stop one's service in spite of all the material impediments. You just push forward and you die. Like Prabhupada, in the final years, he said to the devotees, you know, I want to die on the battlefield. You know, like a soldier. It's very glorious. You die on the battlefield, you know, for a soldier. And Prabhupada was very enthusiastic. He had the devotees take him to London. And practically speaking, the devotees described that his body was like a bag of bones, and then the skin was touching the bones, and an ordinary man would be writhing in pain. So anyway, so these are some of the lessons. Thank you for asking that question. That's actually a very good question. And we should go on serving Krishna regardless of the circumstances. I mean, yeah, sometimes it's impossible. Like, obviously, you know, if you're dead. And like I say to the devotees sometimes, that when I'm giving an initiation, there's an excuse for not being able to chant your rounds when you're in a coma. It's a good excuse. Okay, so who else has a question?
Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances.
Okay, Rakesh.
Gurudev, we know that Haridas Thakur used to chant 300,000 beads every day.
Yeah.
Is that why he's called Namacharya?
Not because he chanted 300,000 mantras a day. He's called Namacharya because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appointed him in that situation. Acharya means You teach by example and you teach by your words. I mean, just because someone chants 300,000 names a day doesn't make him a Namacharya, but he was appointed by Lord Chaitanya to be the principal person who taught the importance of chanting the holy names.
Thank you.
I mean, if you chant 300,000 names a day, if you had time, if you could do it, you wouldn't be the Namacharya. You would be tired after one day if you were able to reach that many rounds. Here's a question. What if our guru told something not true or right about you, and then guru is displeased with one? How should a disciple take it? That's the question one has here. Humbly. And the disciple should explain. Of course, sometimes if you try to explain, the guru will say, you're just offending yourself. Then you just like, you tolerate. It's Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy. Then one should just think, I've done so many things wrong that the guru didn't know about. So this is just the culmination of all the things I've done wrong. Maybe I did this thing right and I didn't do it wrong. However, just the fact that you were wearing a material body indicates that you should probably get chastised. When I was young, we had this system in school that if someone acted stupidly, they would wear a dunce cap. I don't know if you ever heard about that. I think in India it might still be going on. They put a cap on you that would indicate you were an idiot. And so this body indicates that we're actually stupid. It's a sign of shame. There was another story when I was young called The Scarlet Letter, that there was a lady who was a very unchaste lady. I'm not going to get into the details about her. And so that she had to wear, she was an adulteress. I mean, someone who has an extramarital affair. So she was condemned by society to wear this big A on her shirt, which means I'm an adulteress. And that's pretty bad. So you know that that person is bad. So in the same way, we are walking around with a material body. You know, you're walking around with something. Oh, Dr. Ohm. Okay. So you're walking around with a material body that's filled with pus, mucus, stool, and all sorts of interesting things. And it's a cause of pain, cause of old age. One thing I've been appreciating recently is that, what is it? When you wear a mask, I'm appreciating wearing masks because people can't tell how old you are when you wear a mask. You could look real young. See, I look real young when I wear a mask. So we got this material body. So a material body is a sign of guilt. It's like the A that the lady was wearing on her. It's a sign that she was an adulteress. So the material body indicates, it's like a big E, envy of Krishna, imitation Krishna, wanting to imitate Krishna. So anyway, so that's the answer to your question. Lady who asked the question. I know who asked it. Okay, who else wants to ask a question?
For Dave?
Yes.
So to follow up on your answer about the material body being a badge of shame.
But you have a spiritual body.
So we're enjoined by Lord Chaitanya to feel compassion and affection for all other living entities,
yes,
even maybe within material bodies. So how to change our consciousness when we look at ourselves as opposed to when we look at others and not feel as though they're just a walking bag of shame.
Well, we apply that to ourselves, not to others. We understand with others they made a mistake and come to the material world, but we point the finger to ourselves. That's the important thing. And also it's the guru's duty to chastise the disciple and with compassion. With compassion. Like Prabhupada was saying that to Surabhi Abhi Palyantam Swami, who was actually the person who designed so many of the buildings in India, like the Bombay Temple, the Vrindavan Temple. And Prabhupada said to him once they were walking in Vrindavan, he said, everybody else is praising you, but not me, because I'm your spiritual master. So, several things get better with chastisement. Your mridanga and your disciple. We don't beat anybody. Don't worry about that. So the point is, yes, when looking at other people, we feel great compassion. They're suffering in the material world. But when something happens to us, we don't feel I didn't deserve it. You get what you deserve. You know, that's a personal thing, but we don't impose that on other people. We don't say, hey, Gopal, you got what you deserve, buddy. That's your karma.
Sounds like a game show.
Yeah, yeah. You must have had some really bad karma, buddy. Yeah, we should have different devotees come before a panel and have people guess what they did previously.
Pass.
They just come. So, all right, Prabhu, I'm not going to use you, Gopal. All right, good. Prabhu, panel number one, what do you think this person did to deserve that particular type of body? And let's say someone has a body like a beautiful lady, and a person would say, I think he was a man in his last life meditating on a lady. And then let's say the person is a handsome man. He says, I think he was a woman meditating on a handsome man. And then a dog comes up, all right? Panel number one, what do you think? I think he had a big house in his last life. I mean, oh my God, I shouldn't bring this up. Just like in America, someone becomes the president of the United States, and there's the, you know, he's the president, and then his wife is the first lady, and then the dog is called the first dog. One of the disappointments people had with Trump is that he didn't have a dog in the White House. And now we have a first dog in the White House. If people probably would comment how people would take their dogs and just wait till the dog walked past door. And then sometimes in America, when you have to take your dog out for a walk, you have to come with a pooper scooper. There's a park right near here where they supply plastic bags to scoop up after your dog. So if someone is thinking of dog, yum yum bapis maran babam yajanteyanta. Kalevaram, tam tam ibaiti kantiya sadatad baba babata. So we know what that next life will be. Like Bart Maharaj and his deer, the human deer, of course. So on that happy note, we'll see. Sorry about that. We'll see everybody tomorrow night. So no more questions. Tomorrow night, same. Jawaharlal Nehru, Prime Minister of India, became a dog. Yeah, Prabhupada said that. In Sweden. So it's not an ordinary dog. You know, if you become a dog, a street dog, it's bad. But he became, if you're a dog in Sweden, you're doing pretty well because it's too cold to be an outside dog in Sweden. You're in someone's house and someone's kissing you all the time. I remember my brother when I was young, he would have his dogs and he would actually kiss the dog on his lips. So we don't want to be, we want to become a dog of a Vaishnava, servant of a Vaishnava. And that we can learn from a dog, but other things we don't want to learn from dogs. Okay, on that happy note, we'll see everybody tomorrow. We'll continue with our reading tomorrow evening. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.